This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
The Sharp Tank. No jumper. Sharpest, coolest podcast in the world. And today, I got my man in here, man. Excited to have you here, man. I feel the energy, man. I got Screwface Gene in the building today, man. How you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I appreciate
you. You in high spirits today?
Oh, yeah. I appreciate even the opportunity to come out here, man.
Good. Yeah, yeah. So you are not only a YouTuber, you rap.
Yeah. I do both, basically, full-time.
I do YouTube and things like that, media, you know, and I know it's hard to juggle even that per se in just a personal life. Mm. How do you juggle both of those? Like trying to rap, like have a rap career in?
Yeah.
You know, trying to juggle being even on YouTube?
Well, I started out as just a rapper first, like all throughout high school and stuff, and I did my thing and I was like a big local artist and stuff, but then it was really when I started doing the YouTube, like the reactions and stuff, that started getting more people to know me outside of just like...
What kind of content were you making?
I was doing reaction videos. And really the reason why I decided to do that was because I really just wanted to give my opinion on music, because I would see other reaction videos on YouTube.
It matters.
Yeah, and there'd be a lot of people who didn't do music, and there'd be certain things that'd be like, oh, you're not even catching this part or doing this part. So I was just like, let me do it from the perspective of an artist. So I just started doing it, and it kind of just took off from there a little bit. So it was really just what I wanted to do, but the original question of how I juggle it is not easily, is the easiest way to answer that, I guess.
Right.
You're forever working. There's never really an off button. Yeah. So like
you're telling me Screwface don't find any time to himself?
Oh yeah, I find time to myself, but it's, the problem with doing it like a lot by yourself is that in order to do one thing, you gotta shut off another thing. When I wanna go super hard in my music, then I gotta kinda like slow down on how hard I go on my reaction videos or how much content I put up, because I have two channels. Then when I wanna do the more reactions, I gotta slow down the music. Then when I wanna find time by myself, I kinda have to slow down both. So it's like, it's just a juggling act. So I do find time by myself, but not a lot, honestly, not a lot. If I can be honest, not as much as I want.
Where'd you go to school, man?
I went to school in Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nebraska?
I didn't go to college.
Bro, tell me, I'm sure you had to be one of the only people on the Browner side around that day.
It was like from elementary school to middle school, I was.
Yeah.
But then right when high school hit, it wasn't like that. There's like actually a lot of black people and brown people in Nebraska. Most of the time when I tell people I'm from Nebraska, they're like, you're from what? Like, they don't even know what it is. But like, originally my parents are from Nigeria.
Yeah.
And they just came to Nebraska just basically to give birth to me. I really like grew up my first like four or five years in Nigeria. And then I moved to Nebraska, so it was basically so we could be like American citizens and stuff like that. Wouldn't have to go through the immigration process like
that. So wait, I'm lost. You said that they gave birth to you in Nebraska? Or?
Yeah, so like my mom was pregnant. They flew to Nebraska because my dad was going to school there.
Okay.
And they gave birth to me in Kearney, Nebraska.
Right.
And then before even I think I was 1 year old, we were in Nigeria. So,
so
like,
you guys moved back. Yeah, okay, moved back. That's why I was trying to pick up on the story.
Yeah. And then I was like there till I was five, and then we flew back. And like, I still remember learning English, which is like crazy thing, but like, yeah, it's technically, English is technically my second language, but I don't really remember my Igbo as much as I want to.
Yeah.
But I could still understand it and like speak, like have a little bit of conversation with it. Yeah. But yeah, basically that's, I don't remember the original question. I just kind of got in my zone.
No, no. Hey, I'm here. Listen, man, we're here to learn about you. That's what, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah, Shark Tank's based on, is just bringing people through and, you know, real topic, just, you know, get to know you, man. Yeah, like, open up. It's okay. That's what they want to know. They don't want to just hear the bullshit. Yeah. They want to hear the real shit. Yeah. No, I do too.
Facts.
So, you know, you and your family, like, so they didn't even put you, when you was in school, they ain't put you in one of them classes since you didn't know,
they
you know,
did. Yeah,
where you kind of went to, especially it's like 13, 14 of y'all. Like,
yeah, I had to go to like the ELL classes, like the language classes. Now, yeah, I would have regular classes, but I had to take like learning English classes and be on some of the classes with like, it wasn't even like 13 people, because you got to think it's like Nebraska too, so the population ain't that much. So it's really like, yeah, five people in the right classroom. And when I came to Nebraska as a kid who spoke Igbo, it wasn't like there was a lot of other
Igbo.
Yeah, or like diversity.
Like emo. Yeah. Like, I speak emo. Like, more I start speaking emo, like, I ain't trying to joke, but I'm just like,
I do.
Damn,
I do
like,
sound
like, you
yeah
know, before I stop speaking emo, you know. Yeah.
So basically everybody, it was just like me in a classroom a lot of the times with learning like how to speak English and stuff like that. And
yeah.
But then, I mean, I speak it pretty well now, I think, so.
Were you fucking around with music and shit like that then, or are you?
Yeah, like, I've been listening.
Or were you a late bloomer?
Yeah, well, like, I've always been doing music because my older brother was doing music, and he was big in, like, Nebraska coming up, like, just very locally, like, kind of more in, like, the high school stuff. And I just looked up to him, and he taught me everything about it. So I've always been inside doing music, even when I didn't even know how to speak English. I would just be trying to figure out how. That's a lot of the way I did learn English, was listening to music and watching TV. It was like, I learned more from that than the classes I would take and stuff like that.
You know why? And I could hit it on the head or not, but it's because you were interested.
Yeah.
What, like, you were entertained by what you were seeing, you know, that's or hearing, like, even in the radio. So it taught you, because you start liking either melodies on the radio or you like the show that you were watching. And you're like, man, I'm trying to figure out what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, so
absolutely.
I feel like that's why it taught you, because you were interested.
Yeah. That's the easiest way to learn, is when you actually, like, care about what you're learning. So, like, when you're in the class and they're making an assignment,
yeah,
you kind of shut off. But when you're listening to a song over and over because you like it, you learn the words and what they mean quicker. That's how I've always been. So, like, I've had a way where I listen to music, like, to this day, and I learn lyrics fast because I listen to the lyrics, and it's just something that's never gone away from.
What kind of music do you listen to, like, on your own, like, you know what I'm saying, just music when you're riding, other than, you know, maybe, I mean, I'm not saying you don't listen to your own music, but you, yeah, obviously hear it enough when you're in the studio and you're making it.
Yeah.
So what type of music does Screwface like on his own time? Like, just, what are you into? What genre?
Hip-hop is my main genre. Like, I'm hip-hop 100% through.
I ask because I seem like you it's kind,
oh, yeah,
of broad for you. You,
I
like
listen
a lot
to,
of,
I listen to, like, I grew up listening to Blink 182 also, and like a lot of the stuff that I didn't really have picks when I came to America and stuff, but like I grew up listening to hip hop, but I listened to a lot of other stuff. My music taste is very eclectic, if,
yeah,
you should say. It's very,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
broad, but it's mainly hip hop. Like, so that's basically what I'll be listening to in my car, or if I'm riding around, it's gonna be some sort of hip hop. It's probably gonna be some, Jay-Z's my favorite artist, so it'd be like Jay-Z.
Oh.
Yeah, and then,
yeah,
probably, I do listen to a lot of new stuff too, so there's this artist I just found named One Take Timmy. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he's dope. He's from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I just got onto his stuff, but that's I've been listening to him. I listen to a lot of UK rap too.
Like, man, I ain't gonna lie, they should be fire.
Yeah, like Fredo, Dave.
They should be low-key fire over there. I ain't gonna lie. They be snapping. Yep. I'll be like, damn, okay. Yep. I don't know if it's the accent that's doing it or what. Like, yeah. it hits a little different. Like, yeah. And I understand what he's saying. So I like UK rap. I ain't gonna lie.
Mm-hmm. It's dope. Different. When at first I had a hard time listening to it because of the accents.
Yeah.
But once I started, like, let me just actually listen to this. Right. I was like, oh, wait a minute, this is super hard. Like, so
yeah.
I listen to actually a lot of UK rap now, almost probably equal to as much American rap as I listen to. So I got a lot of...
You go to college?
Nah, never did.
No?
I went straight. I knew I was always... I always knew I was going to do some sort of entertainment. So it was going to be... I was always going to do music especially. So I, instead of going to college... Straight from high school, I started doing shows and doing tours and stuff. So like right the year I graduated, I opened up for Young Jeezy in Lincoln at the Pershing Auditorium. And then it just started going from there. So I kind of used those years as my college to what I do now. And that was before anybody really knew who I was, especially outside of Nebraska or something like that. So I always say I didn't go
we
to college.
We never knew too many niggas from Nebraska.
Yeah, nah. You really, nah. Not it.
I just had to throw that out there, yeah. Bro. Like, a lot of niggas would be like, yeah, I'm for real with it. Like, we've been doing hip-hop. Hey, man, we've been doing rap. Hey, man, we do all this shit up here. But I do feel it. It's everywhere. Huh?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Little do people know.
Yeah. It's definitely not easy to get something started like that in Nebraska because you are 100% right. It's not... known for that, so it's like you're pushing against the grain a little bit when you do that. So like, it's even harder for like when I was living in Nebraska, it was even harder for us as hip hop artists to book venues or do stuff like our rock. Like there'd be people that were smaller than me because I was put in the paper for being the first local artist that sold out a show there, so I was decently big out there, and there'd be rock groups that were way smaller than me. And they would have no problem booking events. But if you were a hip hop group, you had to like not, when you were booking the venue, you'd have to like act like you weren't hip hop. Like you'd have to say like you were different music and then just kind of let them find out once you start playing.
Why is that?
It was like, especially when I first started, it's a lot better now, but like when I first started, it was, they're not used to it. It's so new that it pushed against the grain a lot. A lot of the stuff we were doing and the other, like, songs that came from Nebraska before that were very just, like, about the football teams. It wasn't, like, really pushing against any grain. When we really came out, we're like, nah, we want to do real hip-hop. We're going to be cursing. We're going to be, ooh, op the band, put all this in our music and whatever. That starts pushing against. They don't like that because they've kept it out for so long. But this was in the this is, like, 2011, 12s type stuff like that. So yeah. It's like, it's gotten a lot better now. There's a lot.
So you saying stuff. They wasn't accepting of that shit up there.
No,
like,
no.
That was.
And anybody.
Black guys?
Yep.
Rap? Cursing? No.
And anybody who says the word is lying, that is, nope. They actually, it was hard. It was very hard coming up. Very hard.
So yeah, the struggle had to be real.
Oh yeah.
When you broke out, like you made a move and you got to go other places, you see how like did you feel like it was a little easier? You're like, damn, hold on, like they'll 100%. Actually let me perform over here. Like,
yeah,
they let a nigga in. Like, yes.
It was like I moved to.
I don't gotta
the
have
West
edited
Coast.
Music.
What?
Like I can just say, where motherfucker ain't gotta have no edited music.
Yeah,
like
facts.
I can just come in there and play my shit.
Exactly. I get more love. I got more love.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware, Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Early when I was outside of Nebraska than when I was actually in Nebraska. Like, even now, I get recognized and stopped a lot more. I live in Vegas, and I get stopped a lot more in there than I ever get stopped when I was in Nebraska and stuff like that. People are like, yo, you're Screwface. And I also think a lot of that comes from just people growing up with you. So maybe they look at you a certain way, or obviously there's the like that jealousy too that comes with it sometimes, when it's like, oh, why did he get up there? Like, we grew up together. How come he got up there and I'm here? So let me just
hate on
him.
It's always been that effect of that why him and not me. That me.
Exactly.
Movement.
It burns him. Yeah. So that's why that's another reason I just had to move too. Like, once I really started taking off with the YouTube, I moved to the West Coast. I was just like, yeah, that's enough. I think I've maxed out with everything I wanted to do here. I still go back and do shows and stuff like that, but
Well, it seems like your YouTube videos have exploded over the last 5 years.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, what's that been like for you, just that transition?
At first, it's still crazy, but at first it was extra crazy because I had never experienced something like that before. And that was like something that I was grinding for so long. And I guess I experienced micro versions of it through the local scene.
Yeah.
But it was nothing like when I dropped a song and it got like a million views. And I was like, whoa, what's going on right here? So it's like it's the big influx. Yeah. And you got to learn how to handle it almost. I'm still learning how to handle it and stuff. Like, you got to learn what you can say, what you can't say, who you can respond to, who you can't respond to. Because in the beginning, I'm still trying to get better at this. When I get like a negative comment or something, I'll go right back and forth with them. And I got to learn, like, that's not great to do.
It gets to you sometimes.
Yeah.
Though. I get it.
It's like mental.
You're still human. We're still human. You're not always going to have a great day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you get on sometimes and you see that bullshit, you be like, man, what you on? Like, what you want to do? Like, and it kind of, and little do you know, like, they really just wanted you to acknowledge them.
Yep.
And that be your friend, bro. It'll throw you off and make you kind of feel dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Was this something that you always wanted to do?
Like, the music or the video, like the reaction videos?
Like the reaction videos.
The reaction videos was actually something I enjoyed doing because I looked at it as just an evolution of when I would be sitting in the car with the homies or with my brothers and we'd be discussing music and debating, because that's all I would do, especially like growing up. But like as we grow up and we move from each other and stuff like that, you get busy and stuff, you don't get the time to do that. So I kind of looked at my reactions as a chance to just like kick it and talk about music with the fans. And it was really just giving my reaction. I was doing it before my page was even monetized. So I was just doing it there was times I was doing 7 videos a day before my page was monetized. I didn't have nothing else to do at the time. I was really like on my wit's end with the whole like this gotta pop off. Like, I've been grinding and invested for so long that, you know, I'm becoming an adult. This has to work. And it really did. So I really was just like, let me just put my head down and push. And that's kind of what got me here. And I'm not even acting like I'm like I've blowed up or nothing, but it's a gradual grind upward. So like, it feels good.
What's some of your most proudest reaction videos you feel like you've made up to date? Like, some of you be like, man, I know I put in some work in this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I had some to where it's like you didn't even get as many views as you wanted it to, but you're like, damn, I kind of put.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I put some work in this motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. Dang, there's a couple of those. I've done so many videos that it's like I gotta like think. But like,
one that just sticks out to you. At least two. I want two.
Damn. I've never even sat back and thought.
Two that you like, was like, man, I really put some work into this one.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't get to really dwell on it because you're like, I gotta move on to the next one. Like,
yeah.
Can't sit here and let this put my wave down.
Okay, so I just did a video. Okay, that's a good question. I just did a video about when Jack Harlow dropped the They Don't Love It.
Yeah.
And he said he was the best white rapper. And then MGK came back and dissed him on the Renegade Freestyle.
Yeah.
I did a video that was like Jack Harlow versus MGK, but it wasn't a reaction video. Like, I wouldn't react to the songs. I was just like breaking it down and like giving my opinion, but I was putting like edits in it. Like, I don't usually do that. So I was putting like a bunch of different edits in it. And that one actually got a lot of love. And I was super proud of that one. That was like, I don't usually go back and watch my own reactions, but that was like a piece of content that I went back and rewatched myself because I was like, yo, that was dope. Like, just at the end, like, I did a good job on that
when
one.
You turn it off, you're like, damn.
Yeah, like that was just fire, yeah. Like, that was one of those ones that even if it would not have got a bunch of views, I was just happy I did it. I got a couple more like that, but it's hard to, like, think off the top of my head which are like that. A lot of the times when my favorite stuff to cover is, like, battles and stuff, like, you know, when two rappers go at it and they're like dissing each other and stuff like that.
That's always good content.
Yeah.
It's always good controversy, always good sales, man.
Yeah, facts. I'm a huge battle rap fan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't really react to battle rap stuff because they be like claiming favorite battle raps. Some of my favorites?
Yeah, you like watching.
Oh, wow. We could be here all day with that.
Come on, man. You got my a couple favorite, at the top, man.
Yeah, my favorite. I'm obviously like Smack URL. That's what I watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They go crazy over there. Loaded Lux, all them dudes. Yeah,
one of my favorites would be Chess versus Easy to Block Captain. That's a crazy battle. Hang off the top. Let me think of some. I haven't even got the chance to watch the battles I wanted to, like as much as I wanted to. I'm cool with the battle rapper Nun Nun. He's white. And I think he's from North Carolina. And he flew me out to, like, I came out to a battle one time. And he was battling, who was he battling? I can't remember who he was battling, but it was just, the event was so dope. It was my first time coming to a live event. And I saw, like, a whole bunch of battles. So I would have to say, like, that trumps all the ones I've watched. Even if it was, like, a super dope battle.
Yeah,
there's something about being there live that's just like way better. So like those would probably be my top battles. All the battles from that event, and I can't remember where the event was either. I'm high. I can't remember.
No. What?
Arizona. It was Arizona. Oh yeah. It was a battle Arizona. Traffic 3. That's what it was. There we go. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Loaded Lux, one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
I like watching that dude. That dude's entertaining.
He be talking.
When he brought out the casket on the boy, brought him to his funeral, I was like, these niggas get animated. I be like, they really put in effort into how they're about to come at you. Like,
it's crazy.
Like, yeah, you really got to have a mindset on you as a battle rapper.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you really got to think outside the box because you about to try to come, like, and embarrass this man. Like,
facts.
Strip him.
Yep.
In front of a crowd. Like,
the crazy part, I always look at battle rap too, is that because I've done battles also, like on stage and stuff. The thing is, like, how much content they have to memorize. It wasn't nobody that anybody knew.
It doesn't matter. Have you ever really, like, buried
him? Yeah,
I went to buried him.
Plenty of people.
Bro. Like, you say you touch the space, you touch the space.
Yeah. Like, I jumped on the stage and battled. Like, I've battled a lot of people on tracks and stuff. That's easy. But I've jumped on stage. There's this tournament in Kansas that the winner got to open up for Nipsey Hussle. And this was back, rest in peace to Nipsey.
Did you win?
I did win it. And the messed up part was, I don't even know if I want to shout out the promoter because he kind of did me dirty. But he did the event. And Nipsey never came. So, and they never hit us up and never did anything like that. And I was driving from Nebraska to Kansas like every night because it was like a tournament. So you had to like beat
how
four
far
people.
Was the drive?
It was horrible. It was like, it's not the longest drive, but like.
How long? How many hours?
It's like, how long is the drive from Kansas to? It's like 3 hours.
Oh, that's a push, man. You get on the phone for a couple minutes, man. You chop it up. You smoke your blunt before you know it, you're there.
Yeah, facts. But the thing that made it bad is, like, when you're going up for a battle, even though I'm confident I'm going to win, I'm like, I could smoke all these people, it's like, it's that chance, like, man, if we lose coming back, and we drove all this way to do this, and we got to the thing, But I had enough confidence that obviously I got to the end, but it gave me a little buzz locally in a little battle scene in Kansas.
Think you was AI ready?
Think I was for the stage, like the big stage?
Big stage.
I respect that too much. Like the
some shit you just don't fuck with.
Yeah, like there's some things
shit
you just don't
mess with, bro. It's just you can talk about it, but then when you be like, hey, well, you ever felt like you was ready? Hell no, I don't feel like I was ready for anything like that.
Yeah.
How did you get the name Screwface Gene? Like, how'd that even come about?
Well, the movie, it's kind of a long. When I was in Nigeria, my dad went to America for a little bit. Like, he was doing school and stuff, so, like, he left us there, made sure we're good, and then he went back to America, got his education and stuff. But when he came back, he came with these boxes, and in these boxes, they were, like, what represented America. So it was, like, boxes of candy. Like, in this, we're kids from the village in Nigeria. We've never seen this stuff other than, like, maybe on certain TVs and stuff, and, like, but there was like candies. I remember like seeing Snickers for the first time, M&Ms and stuff like that. I was like, what? And then he had a bunch of movies that he had videotaped. And one of them was Steven Seagal's Marked for Death.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and it was...
with Screwface in there.
Exactly. So
with the dreads.
Yep.
Yeah, Screwface with the dreads. Yep. Screwface! Yeah. I remember that shit. Yeah. I remember that shit.
Yeah, facts.
I remember that shit. Then he had like a twin brother or some shit like that.
Yeah, he had a twin brother in that movie. That I think he's one of the coldest villains of all time. Yeah, Mineral Scroll.
Yeah, fans. I remember that. Yeah.
So he had the movie. He played the movie, and when I watched the movie, I was like a little kid. I used to get nightmares of Screwface, like the villain, because I was obviously too young to be watching that. So as I grew up and we went to America and stuff, I started doing music and I was in a rap group and I had like a stupid name called like Ace or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And when I split up from the rap group, I was like, I want to change my name. I want to change everything. I want to do something by myself. And my older brother, because he knew like Screwface was like a thing, like everybody knew like Screwface was like a thing with me. And he was like, why'd you just be Screwface? And at first I laughed like, that sound like, why would I go by? But then I thought about it and I was like, it's almost like a metaphor of like overcoming your fears, because it used to be like my biggest fear, but now it's like my legacy.
Yeah.
So like, that's why I was like, I actually really like this name. And then the Jean, people pronounce it Jean or John. I threw that in there for literally no reason. Like I have a great story for the Screwface part, but like I just needed I was writing a song and I needed an extra syllable in the, because it was like Screwface is a one man band, a one man soldier. It was like an old song I did when I was little, and I just needed an extra syllable. And I always liked like Wyclef Jean. I always liked that, and I was just like, yeah, I'll just be Jean, I'll just be Screwface Jean. And I just, it's been like that since then. It just stuck with me. And then like, I also learned it was a good name because once people heard it, they didn't forget it. That was like something with when Tech N9ne, because he's like my mentor, but like when he met me and he was like, what's your name? And I said, Screwface. He looked at me, he was like, I like that. And
I was gonna ask you, like, how did you secure, you know, features like Tech N9ne and people like
that? Tech has been my, like, coming from Nebraska, he's from Kansas, like, we look at him, like, up there. Like, he's, like,
he
the locally.
Popular, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, like.
Took over Midwest down
the Midwest,
area.
Absolutely.
Yeah, look at he him, had it on lock.
Absolutely. He was, like, a legend, like, the boogeyman in our city. Like, people would be, like, would have fake Tech N9ne stories. They'd be like, yo, Tech N9ne would come down here in the summertime. He used to grill with us and stuff like that. So it was like a crazy thing growing up. And then I remember when I started doing music.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
There was a company called Two in the Shirts. I don't know if anybody remembers them.
Tits.
They're a clothing brand. And they reached out to me, and they wanted to do like a sponsorship with me. And this was like early. This was my first sponsorship or anything like that. So they gave me a bunch of the clothes and stuff, and they did a show with like Tech and, well, it wasn't a show with Tech. It was a show with me and Dizzy Wright.
Yeah, little Dizzy Wright. Shout out Dizzy Wright.
We were doing a show in Kansas, yeah, because we had a song.
Dizzy Wright out of Vegas.
He's out of Vegas, yeah.
Out of Vegas.
We did a song together, and we did a show in Nebraska. He's like, come to Kansas with us to do the show. So I went down there with him. I met Tech, but the reason Tech knew me was through the Two in the Shirts brand, because he worked with them too. So then that's kind of how we got connected. And then when he came and he talked to me, it was like, you know, as a kid from Nebraska in the Midwest, I was just like, whoa, this is crazy. So then we did a lot of shows together. Like, I would open up for him. So whenever someone big came into Nebraska, I was the person who would open up for him, especially Lincoln, Nebraska. So we do a lot of shows together. And then eventually we just started growing like a relationship. And he was like, bro, you got a lot of talent, a lot of skill. And this was back when I was like 18. And then when I started doing these reaction videos, because me and him kind of like stopped talking for a while, I did a reaction to one of his things, and he saw it, and he hit me up, and he was like, on Instagram, he was like, yo, hit me up. I've been trying to hit you for a long time. And I realized what had happened was, when he hit me up in Kansas, the number I gave him was in my ex's phone, and we had broke up. So he was trying to hit, he was hitting that phone up thinking it was me. And so
it's got to be fucked up if like the bitch didn't like you anymore and she was like, nah, yeah, this is him, but fuck you. I don't fuck with you. I don't even rock with you. Like, just try to blow your shit up. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah,
that.
I know this is who it is, but fuck that. He ain't getting this plug today. He treated me like shit.
Thank God she didn't do that.
Ruthless,
yeah, oh,
bro.
Yeah.
I'm
oh,
saying,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have no, hey, man, have no fury like a woman scorned,
facts,
bro.
That
she
is
hot,
a fact.
She hot, bro. She yeah. Act funny with it, man. So you was able to, anything that came through Lincoln, even if it was, let's say, a main headliner, somebody yeah. like that was looking for an opener,
yep.
They grabbing you off the dribble.
I opened up for Kendrick Lamar on the Good wow. Kid, Mad City tour. I've opened up for everybody. Like, I've done like six shows with MGK. We did like MGK's 23rd birthday. We booked them in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Like literally everybody. You could just name a person. If they've came through Nebraska, I've probably opened. Even like legends like Twista and.
Yeah, that's live.
I can't even. I would literally.
That's live.
Yeah, I couldn't even. I would have to sit back on my mental Rolodex and think of everybody. Kid Ink. When he was first coming out, Taylor Gang, I went on tour with Chevy Woods and stuff. Ray Schremer, a little bit of everybody. YG, yeah, a little bit of everybody.
Do you have a team, or do you do everything by yourself? Or
I basically do everything by myself. That's my biggest actual. I think that's the reason I'm not. To the next level, that because I'm like big in my own little bubble and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that next, like outside, where things like this, that's why I'm so grateful to be here, because I know that this is a big opportunity. It's like, it's no jumper. Like, it's interview with Sharp. So it's like, it's a big thing. I've been watching this for a while. So those things help. But like, what was the original question? My bad. what did you originally ask?
I'm saying, like, do you have a team, or do everything
team, nah.
Yeah, by yourself?
Basically, yeah, I don't have a team. I have to do everything by myself initially. I mean, I'm like in the process of trying to grow a team. So like everything I really do besides my producer, Dodo, the Hit Brainiac, he produces for me and he'll mix my records. And like when I go on tour, he'll be the one that'll call the venues and stuff like that. But as of late, it's really just me doing most of the stuff too. But if my team would really just be, if I had to, anybody else who does it constantly, would be me and probably my producer. But really it's just the videos I shoot, the reaction videos I shoot, I edit, I do all the thumbnails, I record the music, I will shoot the videos sometimes, he'll hold the camera sometimes, now that I live out in Vegas, but I'll edit the video, and then Dodo will mix the audio, send it there, I'll do the artwork for all the singles, I do all the artwork for everything, and then when it comes to tour, we gotta go. That's why the problem is, we gotta shut down things to do other things. So we'll be like, okay, it's time to, we gotta push more reactions, so we gotta stop doing music, so we gotta do this. Oh, we gotta start doing more music, so we gotta slow down on the reactions to do this. That's why it's hard to get a 360, but a team is the most important thing. Like, that's where one thing I need to work on. That's one thing I need to get, because I'm also very used to doing everything myself, but I gotta start delegating other things to other people who know other things.
Yeah, and know how to really take a hold of it for
exactly.
you. To where it takes some of the pressure off of your back.
Exactly.
It's very important, man, because it's like, you got to do all of that and still try to juggle your personal life. You still got to have some type of substance to just you as a person solely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's definitely time for you to find a team to really help you go to the next level, or to wherever you, at least you can say you really tried.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? At that point, like trying it all yourself at the point that you're trying to go to, it's gonna run you dry, man.
Oh, it's impossible.
It's gonna break you all the way down to a place that you're just, you don't wanna turn it into something that you love, you don't wanna turn it into resentment.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Where you resent the situation because you're like, I did so much and it took so much to where I got fucking nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you don't even like the craft anymore. You don't wanna even indulge in the conversations when you're even sitting at a fucking bar.
Yeah, yeah, you know? That's a fact.
It just, it can turn you off and turn you away.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. I've gotten there with certain things too, like certain times, and I've had to pull myself out from doing it. There'll be times like where I'll just be like, man, let me just take a break from all of this for a second. Let me not be on Twitter for a second. Let me not, like I haven't really ever taken a break from uploading videos, but like I took a break from doing music for like a year almost. And it wasn't even like an official break. I didn't go like, hey, I'm taking a break, but it just started to seem like my focus started shifting more towards doing reactions. That was last year. And it's crazy because like my two albums that I've dropped, Slime Shady, which was like more kind of an EP mixtape thing, and Village Boy are over a million streams. So when I do drop music, I got a fan base that listens to it. It's just for some, and my music fans always tell me that I need to drop more, and I just don't feed that fan base enough. So this year, I've been.
They want you on a consistent basis.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They want you on a consistent level, man.
Yeah.
Because I always believe, you know, out of sight, out of mind, right?
That's a fact, especially
you know
nowadays.
What I mean? So when you keep putting it in their face, they ain't got no choice but to take it in, you know, and want to listen. Like, and you got fans and like, man, that they want to, all they want to listen to is you.
Yeah.
But they're listening to the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So they're even looking for your next single.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You ain't got to always try to even put together an EP or mixtape or album. Even some singles. Just drop them here and there. Every time you feel it in the studio, man, this is one I want to put and give to my fans.
That's a fact.
They're going to love it.
I've been trying to work on that a lot more. And I've been, this year, I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to focus on getting back to the music because I'm a musician first. Because I always look at my reactions like a musician giving his opinion on something. But if I got to keep that musician part. Like this is why, that's what my passion is. That's what I love doing. The reaction is more just like I'm kicking it with the homies, talking about some music that dropped or something that's going on in the world.
Do you find yourself in this black hole of procrastination sometimes?
I've found that with music. Yeah. I found that with, there'll be times where I'll be like, I'll have a great idea. And I didn't used to be like this when I was doing just the music.
Yeah.
But I'll be like, I have a great idea. And for some reason, I never get to doing it. Like, I'm sitting there like, yo, that would be dope if I had a video where I was doing this and maybe I was doing that. And then for some reason, I just never get to it. But it's like, the reactions is also like my job too. More like, obviously I make a living off music too, but I make it off the reactions, and that comes a little easier to me. Not that the music doesn't come easy, but like doing the reaction videos, because I don't need a team of people. I need like a team of people to create music. I need
cheap
like
production.
I need like a...
It's cheap production. It's quick production.
Exactly. Once you get it set up and you've invested enough, it's very streamlined. I don't need a producer. I don't need somebody to mix and master. I don't need artwork. I mean, like I do, but not like single artwork. It's just, it's easier for me to do. But then I've also been like, I can't just focus on that because it's easier for me to do. And a lot of people know me from doing that, but people knew me originally for doing music. So that's what I've been really doing. I started like a new music page. It's the Screwface John Media. And I wanted to separate the music and the reactions on two different pages, just because sometimes I buried my music with my reactions. Like like when you drop and the way that the YouTube algorithm be working, they don't like that. Like when you'll drop a song and then you'll have like a certain fan base will come for the music, and then I'll drop a reaction and they'll try to send like the notifications out to those people again. And it's a different group of people, so they don't interact the same. So YouTube takes it like, oh, people don't like this video. So then that used to happen to me a lot, and I'd have to drop a song and wait 3 days and then start dropping music again. But music also works better when you drop it and let it live. Like when you drop it on a channel, because on my music channel, I could drop something and then let it live for a few weeks. That'd be the only thing that you can see. So people who are coming to that page, that's what they're gonna see. But if I drop a song and then in a week, I upload more, bless you. And I upload more. If somebody sees like, oh, I got a new song, say they see a tweet and then they run to my page, but it's buried with 6 new reaction videos and they never even get to the song. So I had to separate them, and I've been doing like a lot of freestyles and stuff. So that's what I've been trying to get that page monetized and stuff like that. I got like 38,000 subscribers on it so far, but.
You know how monetized yet?
Not on the second, not on the music page.
Should have added your watch hours by now.
Yeah, see, I haven't, that's the problem. That's the only thing I'm still needing is the watch hours, because I've only dropped
you
got
36,000 followers on it, right?
Yeah, 36,000.
You should have found, I think it's what, anywhere from 4,000 to 7,000, Donnie? 4,000 hours, I think it is, before you monetize?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4,000 before you monetize. You should have had that easy.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's for like, sure. I only did like 3 videos. I think I've only done 3 videos on there so far.
Yeah.
And they're getting like a 30,000, 20,000. On my main page, if I drop it, 100,000 easy, 200,000, 300,000, but it's like, it's that restarting and moving everybody, all my music fans from one place to another, and that, it's not the easiest thing, but it's a slow but easy process. I mean, yeah. Slow but...
Before we get out of here, tell the viewers, Gene, where are you headed? Like, what do you want from all of this? Where can we see you? Like, what's the next step for Screw Fees?
Well, my next step is breaking out of that, like, YouTube niche bubble and getting more on the mainstream level of, like, you know, on the... Being able to be seen by like the people like you, or like the getting learned to seen by the, because you guys represent the actual industry.
Yeah.
Not that you're in the industry, but like when you guys do something, the world will see it. You know, like when we do stuff, our world sees it. And there's a lot of people, and I appreciate those people to death, but I've also never been just a reactor. So like things like this is the stuff that sets me aside from that stuff, and I really appreciate it. So the next thing is to continue doing things like this, galvanize, get like a real strong team that's just focused on getting me to the next level and really learning what it takes to, like, I know I got it to get to the next level. It's just, I can't do it by myself. So that's the next thing.
Well, my advice to you is find a team that really stands behind you, mm-hmm. willing to move behind you, you know, and put you first. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what it's really about, man. That's the only way it's gonna work. And if people wanna say, hey, well, I wanna get in the door too, well, we gotta push somebody through first.
Yeah.
And have them and allow them to allow us to come through the door behind them. You know exactly. what I'm saying? That's how it goes.
That's
you
a
know?
Fact.
And it takes a village to put people on, man. Yep. You can't, it's hard to do it by yourself.
It's impossible. Like, you get to a certain point where...
It's possible, but you're going to run yourself ragged.
Yeah. You get to a certain point, though, like, when you get big enough, you're just a brand, and you need, like, people to push that brand. So when you're just you, you almost handicap yourself because, like, I can't just focus on being the art and the creative of it. I got to do all that stuff. And when you look at... When you got to look at your music and everything from both sides of that, it's hard to just keep going to certain stuff. That's what builds, like, the procrastination. Sometimes you overthink and the stuff. Like you said, it's possible, but most people who've gone even independently have at least had 2-3 other people, even if it's just, like, people that, like, homies or stuff that made them get to that next level. Because we'll see people and not realize... They had, like, I didn't know Chance had the manager he used to have or the person for the longest time. It felt like it was just Chance the Rapper, like, clicking upload on all his own stuff. And he says, but he had, like, a team too, like, and I've seen enough
got
of it.
To.
Yeah, it's real hard to not, to do it without a team, basically.
And Chance, shit, he had where he's at today just by his motherfucking self? Hell no.
Yeah.
That shit took some planning behind him.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Strategy.
He ain't just playing that shit by himself.
No.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, Screw Fiends.
I appreciate you,
for coming through, man, and just fucking with me, man, and just sitting down, bro, and just opening up, man.
Sharp to
Hopefully we can do some podcasts or something in the future, man.
Yeah,
some reaction
definitely.
Videos or something together, man. Yeah. Just call me, man. Shit,
I'm liking this.
Line.
I'm liking this. Yeah, I can do this. I feel it.
I got you, man.
Yeah.
The Sharp Tank.
Screwface.
No Jumper. Sharpest, coolest podcast in the world. Hey, Donnie, shoot us out the motherfucking gym.